Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I'm Javier.
And this week, Stan Hansen.
Hansen, baby.
A beer-bellied mustachioed Texan who made a living beating the crap out of people.
Specifically in Japan.
He went to Japan, and they loved the way he lariated people. So they're like, hey, you can stay for like 20 years. Just having a great time. Starting in the 70s, all through the 80s, into the 90s. And he's like, all right, I'll stop. I'll slow down now.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, isn't he? WWE Hall of Famer?
He is a WWE Hall of Famer. It's one of those weird things where, like, you look at the induction in terms of his Hall of Fame induction for the Observer and the WWE and how different. It's a 20-year difference. He was inducted into the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame in 96 and only got to the Hall of Fame in WWE in 2016.
Well, I mean, he was only really in the WWWF, correct? I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, he's really more renowned for his impact on pro wrestling than he is his impact on WWE.
Specifically, yeah. That was the same class with Sting, Godfather, Big Boss Man, Jacqueline, Freebirds, Snoop Dogg. You know, all the hits.
Did you say Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, he's in the celebrity wing.
I knew that, but wow, okay.
Yeah. But this week we're talking about Stan Hansen. Before we dive into Stan Hansen, let's do all the housekeeping notes. Follow us on Twitter at Crossbody of Work. And when you get there, tweet at us. Who do we cover? Who should we look at?
Chad, please. I beg. I beg.
Check it out just to see Chad tweet at Javier about how we should cover Earl Hebner. I would love just one day like a referee, Matt, like a referee episode. I don't know what we'd do. I don't know. Have refs
had Hebner matches? Have a match against Triple H?
Lil Nate had a match.
As with Lil Nate? Yeah, WCW. Yeah,
as Lil Nate.
I'm pretty sure Hebner had a match against Triple H back in the 2000s, like around the time.
I have this weird feeling Nick Patrick had a match.
You know, you shouldn't have that weird feeling because I'm almost entirely confident that every WCW referee had a match.
Yeah, I don't know why they were so obsessed with putting their refs in matches, but maybe one day. But tell us who we should cover legitimately. Go to Twitter. Tell us people we haven't covered. Tell us you want us to cover them.
And if you tell me someone that we already covered,
go back and listen to that one. Directly to jail. Wherever you're listening to the podcast, which 98% of you, that means on your phone. Open your phone up. Whatever app you're using to look to listen to the podcast, just go on it. And there's probably a little place to rate us 5 stars. And it takes 2 seconds. And when I say it means the world to us, it does. It really
does. It means the world to me.
We're slowly but surely climbing the charts. We were back on the American, like the Apple podcast charts for wrestling in the United States this week.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
You know how many wrestling podcasts there are?
A lot.
I tripped over 2 on the way in to record.
I'm sitting on 3 right now.
Yeah, we actually don't have furniture. We just sit upon podcasts. It's everywhere. They're like milk crates. But it helps us stand out. And if you like us, 1, why? But 2, rate us 5 stars. It helps us so much. You want to help us? You want to show people how much you like us too? Merch table, fullpressshop.com. Cop the merch.
This man's over here, you know, shelling everything.
Oh, how about I shell this? This week on my other podcast, Pop Capsule Podcast, we had a special guest. It was Javier.
Yes, it is. It was me.
It was me all along, Austin.
After literal years of asking to get on this podcast, Evan finally placated me.
On the Pop Capsule Podcast, me and my friend Mallory, we cover pop culture from 10 and 20 years ago. And 10 and 20 years ago this week, it's live by the time you listen to this. It came out the Thursday of the week that this came out, that this episode comes out. By the time you get this, it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. We covered Avengers 1, we covered Spider-Man from 2002, and we covered WWF becoming WWE. It's 90 minutes of pure stupidity and hilarity.
Vibes.
The vibes are high. My podcast worlds collided, and honestly, it was tremendous. We set it up for Mallory to come on this podcast in the future, and for spoilers, she doesn't know shit about wrestling.
Nothing.
But it's nothing at all. It's going to be great. Go and listen to that wherever. And if you like pop culture, listen. Add that into the rotation. Add that in. Spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. Or if you just like to hear Evan's voice.
Oh, yeah. Who likes the dulcet sounds of my voice? I don't know why I went slightly Gilbert Gottfried there. R.I.P. This is off the rails, and we haven't even
touched on it. You fool!
We haven't even touched on Stan Hansen yet. All right. Hansen made his professional wrestling debut in 1973, born in Knox City, Texas. He's from West Texas State University. Could you imagine that this man and this gimmick is from Texas?
Wait, West Texas? Isn't that where like a lot of people want to play football?
That's the same one where there was like Ted DiBiase and all that, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Who else was there? We did, what's his, Tully? Tully
yeah,
went Tully, there, no?
Tully was there, yeah. And Hansen also played for the West Texas State Buffaloes.
Jesus Christ, West Texas Buffaloes State. Man. You know, I think WWE needs to stop recruiting athletes from these, you know, big-timey basketball and
West
football
Texas
programs.
State.
West Texas State is clearly the factory.
It's clearly where it is. He, like I said, started wrestling in 1973. Initially, it was a part-time job while playing football for the Detroit Wheels, which were part of the World Football League. Hey, we need a team name that relates to Detroit. What do we make here? Cars. Okay, well.
You know, I think I like that better than the Detroit Lions.
What the fuck is wrong with the Lions?
Where the fuck did they get Lions from?
Show me. Just Javier walking in Detroit. Show me the Lions.
Like, there's only three things that they got over there. It's the fucking cars, which, hey, I hate the Detroit Pistons. At least Pistons make sense.
You don't know where the lion is located on the car? Okay, this is off the rails.
We got the Lions. Or they got fucking cars, they got dirt, and they got M&M. That's it. That's all they got.
Got dirt. In 75, Hansen first teamed with a future partner named Frank Goodish. You know who Frank Goodish is?
Of course I don't know who Frank Goodish is.
Well, you should. It's Bruiser Brody, baby.
Oh, shout out.
Yeah. And then in 1976, he joins the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. He 2 months into his reign in WWE, or his time in WWF, he would feud with a guy named Bruno Sammartino. And in his first match challenging for the title, he would break Sammartino's neck. It was from an incident that Hansen and promoters claimed that they said it was like, oh, he did it with the lariat. That was his big move. The real reason is he botched a power slam and broke his neck.
A power slam?
Yeah.
Wow.
A power slam botch. The first match we're looking at is not the one where the botch happens that hurts Sammartino. It's the revenge match, the revenge tour. It's versus Bruno Sammartino, WWF Championship cage match at MSG, August 1976. Hansen is a big, blonde, barrel-chested bastard here to fuck shit up.
Dude, he looks so fucking weird because his hair does not match the rest of him.
Correct, but explain for the people.
It's literally, so he's got like, honestly, the best way I could describe it is, have you ever seen Grown Ups 2?
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know David Spade's son? Oh. It's like David Spade's son's hair.
Also, speaking of barrel-chested, Bruno shows up with a police escort and no music.
Yeah, we don't talk about Bruno, no.
But we're going to talk about how Bruno Sammartino is huge.
A big man.
He's huge.
Big man.
What'd you think of the match?
This match was the shits. This is the worst. This is the worst cage match I have ever seen, bro.
So, again, context. 1976 MSG vengeance angle. In terms of all that, the crowd is hyped for everything.
Yeah. Bruno is the most over individual in the universe
when
right
now.
When
people talk about like, oh, you know, wrestling isn't as good as it used to be. The quality of the wrestling is miles ahead of where it was.
Hell yeah.
But the overness, these guys, everything they did mattered. Sammartino was, it's a microphone from 1976, and it picks up how loud it is that you can't hear anything else. It's just a wall of sound.
It just be so loud, fam.
Hansen jumps Sammartino as he enters the ring, misses an elbow, and the crowd is losing their mind for Sammartino just punching him.
Yeah, he's literally, by the way, 97% of this match is just punches and kicks.
And Hansen trying to climb things. Things, the cage. What do you think? There's no ladders in there.
I don't know. He might be able to climb Bruno. Bruno's back is big enough. That shit's Mount Everest.
But he just keeps, Hansen just climbs the thing. Bruno pulls him down, beats him up a bit. Hansen gets an opening, immediately tries to get up. It's the whole thing.
You know, copy, paste, command C, command V.
Was there any spot that stood out for you?
At one point, Bruno fires up and throws Stan into the cage twice, and the crowd goes ballistic.
Ballistic.
Bruno does a couple of stomps, and then puts on like a bootleg camel clutch.
Yeah, what was that?
I mean, I assume they can't do the camel clutch, because I'm just going to assume the Iron Sheik is out there somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, can't be stealing other people's gimmicks, brother.
Hansen bites the hand of Bruno at one point.
Yeah, while he's got the clutch on.
Unfazed, and just boots him in the face.
Yeah. Bruno, a lot of this for offense, would just, like, put his foot on Stan. Sit like head. He's yeah. Put his hand so, and then he just like press it down onto the mat.
Like a panini. Yeah,
yeah. He tried to turn this man's head into a fucking sandwich. And then so here's my favorite thing. At one point, Stan tries to climb out of the cage.
Yeah,
he's on the middle rope.
Yeah.
Bruno like is able to like hit him or do something, and Stan like crumbles, but he's like laying down on the middle rope.
Yeah,
like on the so corner, confusing. Just on the middle rope. And Bruno just starts fucking choking him.
Yeah.
like how Homer Simpson would strangle Bart. He would just, he's just choking
him. It feels very real at points in this match. And I believe it if it was a little bit, because Bruno got his fucking neck broken by this man.
Yeah. My neck, maybe. My back.
In terms of Hansen in this match, he doesn't get a ton of offense. He gets some strikes.
He keeps missing the lariat.
He does keep missing there. I was impressed with the way he sells, because oh, yeah. It was anytime he'd get an opening, he would know what he's supposed to do, but he was really good at like being kind of out of it as he's like looking around for the door, like, oh, there's the door. I'm going to make it to the door, and kind of bow leg walk, and then Bruno would just club him in the back or whatever.
I mean, the great part about this is, didn't you, you said Stan started in 73, right?
Yeah.
This is 76, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So he's only 3 years into his fucking career, and he's selling like crazy.
He's 27 at this time, 26?
Oh, you know, fucking... that talk about a pillar in wrestling. Stan the man.
Yeah, Sammy Guerrero got nothing on Stan.
Sammy could never.
Hands him with some clubbing blows, kind of going near the end. Goes to the corner, Bruno crotches him on the ropes, runs him into the ring post. Hansen is bloodied. He gets the blade job. Could have been hard way, but I think it's probably a blade.
I think it's probably a blade, yeah.
Bruno gets something. Could you identify this object? Because I
no idea. Couldn't. No fucking clue.
It's smaller than a bread box. Like it's the size of a deck of cards.
Smaller than a bread box.
Have you ever heard that used as like an expression? Like people,
I don't even know what a bread box is.
Oh, it's a box you put your bread in and keep your bread from being stale. Before we invented, you know, the twist and tug under. I'm being serious. I feel like I'm fucking 70 years old explaining this to you. You ever heard of a bread box, son? We used to go play jacks down by the soda fountain. You fucking old person.
The soda fountain.
No one knows what he's talking about, you old man. Hansen's bloody. You know, Bruno's hitting him with the thing. Who sells each shot like death. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, Hansen at times looks like a huge Dolph Ziggler because he sells like nuts.
He's got Dolph's hair. There was a stretch there in like 2013-ish, 2012, 2013, where Dolph's hair was kind of like how Stan's is now after like a little bit in a match where it was wet and he didn't have it slicked. It did get a little out of control there.
Javier, talk about the finish.
It's I can't really explain it. Bruno just walks out.
Bruno just decides he's done.
He just walks out. He just, it's over, it's done. And then we're like, Stan just throws like a weird, uncontrollable tantrum, basically.
Sure, as he should. As he should. So, let's move on from this very weird match to another weird match.
Talk about tantrums. We'll get to that.
Stan Hansen would first go to New Japan Pro Wrestling in January of 1977 through the booking of Vince McMahon Sr. He would get there with the reputation as the man who broke Bruno Sammartino's neck. He quickly became a top heel, and he would have some really good matches. The first match we're looking at, though, doesn't come until 1981, and it's against the guy you've probably heard of. I hope so, if you're listening to this podcast. It's Stan Hansen versus Andre the Giant. New Japan, September 23rd, 1981, in a just kick the shit out of each other match.
This is awesome. And the reason why I was really excited to see this match before I you know, opened it up was I saw the year, 81. Yeah. And this was still good, Andre.
Oh, yeah. Andre can still healthy. Move. Oh, yeah.
He's still moving. Like, you could tell he's a little bit slower than he was in the late 70s. I mean, that's just, you know, obvious. But, like, he's still moving like a motherfucker. This brother's working in this match.
Andre's hair gets not nearly enough credit for being the greatest of all time. I want to talk about the fact that Andre the Giant had Krusty the Clown hair for a whole career. And nobody gave a shit because he was so awesome.
He's fucking 7 feet tall.
You can't teach that, or so I've been told. And
hey, we might see him tonight on AEW.
That's true. We are recording this during Dynamite.
Yeah, I'm watching Dynamite on my phone underneath my laptop right now.
So if you hear a random spoiler about, well, I guess it won't be a spoiler, it'll be 4 days old at this point by the time it comes out. But if you hear a random outburst about Dynamite, that's why.
Yeah, that's so if you don't want to know about Wheeler Yuta and how he just did a German suplex to the butcher, don't listen to me.
Ignore Javier entirely. What did you think of the match?
I fucking love this. Honestly, this might have been my favorite match of the bunch. I really enjoyed this.
I think my favorite is our second last one. Maybe.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, but this is a close second. Hansen's out. At this point, he's got, like, he didn't have this in the first match. This one, bull rope, vest, whole nine cowboy gimmick.
Oh, yeah. I'm honestly surprised they didn't make him come out with a fucking horse on a stick. Horse head on a stick. The
thing playable. Is, he's scary enough that he could do that and it would be fun.
And it would work. They'll just call him the crazy cowboy.
You're like, that dude's nuts. You don't want to deal with him.
Yeah.
He believes that's a horse.
He believes it's real. He named it Sparky.
Early on, Hansen charged on Andre. Andre just gets a boots up to get space. Yeah. Hansen with a great stagger sell. Something I noticed he does really well is the stagger sell.
Oh, yeah.
We get a really early bear hug by Andre, which isn't our favorite, but Andre is
But he does it from behind.
And one of the only guys who's like legitimately allowed to do it.
And you know why it works for me here is because Stan has a beer belly. Mm-hmm. And Andre is a very large man. So honestly, it looks like it kind of fucking hurts.
And Hansen gets free by just prying at the jaw of Andre. He's like, where's a soft spot? I know, I'll rip your mouth open. Ugh. That's uncomfortable. Okay.
So Andre's main offense here towards the beginning of the match is fucking hilarious. So he would headbutt him multiple times and then just in the corner and then just lean on him.
Yeah. Just press him. Poor Stan Hansen keeps getting panini'd no matter where he goes.
It's his head with a boot. It's Andre literally pancaking his ass.
What is the long arm submission that Andre does while standing up?
I don't know, but I don't want it to happen to me.
It's essentially like the you're getting arrested. Like, put the arm behind the back and just wrench it. That's what he does for like a long time.
It's kind of like what your friend's dad would do to you if he got into the wrestling fun.
Oh.
Just like a non, something that's not going to hurt the kid, but teach him a little valuable lesson.
Oh, my friend's dad went with Van Damminators. For everybody. Here, hold this plastic chair, child.
Jesus. Not even athleticism.
Not even folding chairs. Just Fisher Price chairs at the face.
Stan fucking scoop slams Andre.
Eat your heart out, Hulk Hogan.
And not only that, Hogan's always like, oh, it blew up my biceps, all this bullshit. Stan did that shit effortlessly.
WrestleMania 3 takes place in 1987. This match takes place in 1981. And Stan Hansen has scoop slammed Andre the Giant.
Yes. And I don't know if he was the first one or not, but damn it, he was the best one.
He's A1.
He's A1, baby. He's steak sauce.
He's steak sauce A1.
So Stan puts on the bootleg camel clutch that he learned from Bruno. Great standing elbow drop by Stan into some knee drops. Andre rolls out of the ring after the knee drops. And then they just kind of like start brawling.
Yep.
And then I heard a bell and I was like, wait, did they just get disqualified?
Well, Hansen is running to the ring post. So is Andre. And then a bell is rung. Then a ref and Andre start talking with some officials. The whole time, Hansen is just pacing around the ring looking to fight somebody.
Yeah, he's ready to fucking go, which at that point turned a babyface to me.
Match gets restarted. We get an arm drag by Stan Hansen on Andre the Giant. Which, do you remember that weird time when Big Show and Braun Strowman said to go do chain wrestling?
Yes.
And everyone's like, what the fuck is going on?
Same vibe. It was actually decent.
It was good. And you're just like impressed because they're huge. Yep. It's like when you see an offensive lineman do anything like super athletic, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Holy shit. You caught a touchdown.
That dude can move. So yeah, arm drag. Honestly, good arm drag.
Andre gets advantage back and just starts headbutting Stan. Stan rebounds off the ropes at one point and hits a lariat to Andre, who falls out of the ring.
Yep.
And then fucking, I don't even know what's happening at this point, but at one point a ref is blocking Andre, just straight up setting a pick on the motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's after, I think Andre gets counted out, no?
So I think that's what happens is when they go to the outside, they're outside for too long, and then they get counted out. They get back in the ring, and a ref makes the very poor career decision to get between Andre and Stan.
So what does Andre do, Evan?
He tosses him into the ropes and clotheslines his face off.
And then just attacks Stan. And then a fucking horde. This is not a flock. This is not a pack. This is a straight up horde of young boys comes into the ring to break this up. And nobody can do it.
If you've seen any pull-up-out brawl in WWE, when you just see a lot of like security guards show up and you're like, oh, you're all local talent and you're about to be thrown by people. The second we see all the young boys join the ring, I'm like, you're all going to die. How do you young boys show up for the show? You're like, is there anything you need me to do? And they're like, yes, you need to eat a punch from Andre or Stan.
Pick one.
I don't know what to... I mean, Andre's fist is the size of my face, but Stan yes, but has malice.
Stan hurts.
Stan hurts. They just... He backs Hansen into a corner. Nobody can separate them. The match just kind of ends once they finally pull them apart. A great brawling match. We didn't do it enough justice. Yeah. We can't. You need to see the spectacle that is this match.
It's art. It's literal art.
Speaking of literal art, we're going to take our first break. When we get back, we have a top five all-time promo for this show. Back from the break, and it's time for our promo section. And what the hell?
I don't know what the fuck is going on, Evan.
For context, it is 1985 in the AWA. Because Stan Hansen did bounce around. So New Japan's where we were before. All through the 80s and 90s, he would be in All Japan Pro Wrestling. He had about a year gap where he was in WCW in 1990, 1991. But all through there, he would be in All Japan. And he had a time in AWA in the mid-80s, 85, 86 time. This promo's from then, where there's two men sitting there, and it's Larry and Larry. Larry Nelson, never heard of him. Yeah. And Larry Zbyszko, who we've definitely heard of.
Yeah, we've definitely had him plenty on this podcast.
They are waiting for Stan Hansen, and Larry Nelson keeps talking about how Hansen makes him uncomfortable. Because essentially, Stan Hansen has like a cowboy gimmick mixed with a loose cannon gimmick.
He's
like Brian Pillman from like the South.
He is John Moxley, but cowboy.
John Moxley on vacation at Tombstone. Renee bought him a cowboy hat, and he's ready to party.
I'm ready to fuck shit up.
Zabisco is talking about how out of control Hanson is, and Nelson keeps saying he makes him nervous. And like, the second, you just hear a door open in the background. And Nelson freaks the fuck out. Nelson starts to twitch and freak out, and Hanson comes in hot.
My man starts screaming like a drunk. Just a drunk, just babbling, screaming. And it's just, at one point he goes, he says, my name's got to be on some list. Well, he's laying in a gutter right now because nobody smart mouths me.
He was talking about how they wouldn't let him into the building, and he called them TV people. The TV people wouldn't let me in the building. So guess what? I killed them. Like, that's pretty much what he says. He's like, they got in my way.
So by the way,
I killed them.
No shots Dan Hanson has a smartphone, right?
Not a clue.
I would be shocked if he even had a flip phone.
He has one of those original Nokia bricks. Sturdy.
I got a landline, sonny.
Hanson points when he's cutting this promo. You can't hear him because he isn't in front of a microphone because he's standing in front of Larry Nelson.
He's holding one.
No. But like, it takes halfway through the promo for him to get held a microphone. For a while, Nelson is literally just reaching the microphone around him, but Hanson's screaming so loud that you can still kind of hear him.
And the dramatic way he puts the hat on.
He says, I want to tell the people about Stan Hanson. He's on a quest for the AWA Championship, which is held by, did you catch who it was held by?
Yeah, Rick Martel, no?
Rick Martel. He's out there in his big cowboy hat, or cowboy shirt, his bull rope. He steals the mic from Nelson eventually. He's just like, get out of the way. Give me this microphone.
He doesn't like rules and being controlled.
He hates these TV people. And then one of the greatest lines I've ever heard in a promo. I'm not after the bright lights and the little women. I got a big fat wife and 9 kids at home. And I'm trying to feed them. A big fat wife and 9 kids, which if you're wondering, is a gimmick because he only has 5 kids. Only 5. And I don't think he had 5. All 5 at this point either.
But by the way, Big Cass, now known as W. Morrissey, just debuted on Dynamite.
Cool.
He's 7 facing feet Wardlow.
Yeah, can't teach that.
At one point towards the end of the promo, he goes, I'm not going to stand for it. And I wrote, me with the national anthem.
I love this promo. He pushes over Zabisco at the end. Zabisco done nothing to him.
I hope that was a program that I can find somewhere. I want to see Larry Zabisco versus Stan Hanson.
I do too. A lot of the matches we have, weirdly, Stan Hanson is the smaller guy or an equal to the person in terms of toughness. I want to see Stan Hanson versus like Larry Zbyszko is still a tough guy, but he's smaller than Stan Hanson for sure.
Yeah. Can you imagine like Stan Hanson against fucking Brock?
Oh.
Give it to me now.
I like that. I'd like that very much.
I want Stan Hanson against his bootleg counterpart, JBL, just so he could beat his ass.
I would love, and this is so niche, but I still want it. Like, give me a Bloodsport style wrestling game with just all of the toughest people from wrestling history. Let me make these massive matchups from history.
And here's the thing, Haku still wins.
Yeah, but let me do Haku versus Minoru Suzuki. Let me have it. Okay? I want it. Let me get Stan Hansen versus Brock Lesnar. I want it.
God, Stan Hansen versus Minoru Suzuki. Holy fuck.
This promo, this is right up there with the Virgil promo we listened to.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is an all-time. Honestly, if you're going to watch something this week.
Watch
the promo. And the promo will get you so excited you'll watch a match. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I don't guarantee 100%. Much.
It's just the best. It's honestly just, it's fucking amazing.
Now let's talk about a match where a dude loses an eye. it's not funny they lost an eye.
What a transition.
But my transitions are on point. Star wipe. Okay. We are at New Japan Super Fight, February 10th, 1990. It's Stan Hansen versus a guy you could have assumed based on what I just told you, that somebody loses an eye. It's the story we all know. It's Stan Hansen versus Vader. Haas month comes early.
This was fantastic. I knew the second I saw this, I was like, Evan put this here because it's big men fighting big men.
Also, there's a whole section of it on Stan Hansen's Wikipedia page about, like, hey, he was in New Japan for a while. One of the things he did was poke out Vader's eye.
Which I'm shocked we didn't put in the Vader episode.
So am I. It's one of my first notes is, how did we not cover this? We had Vader versus Shawn Michaels, but we didn't have...
Well, that one was important.
Yeah, I get that. But the dude lost an eye and fought for... Here's the other part, folks. I'm going to get to it right away. It happens like 3.5 minutes into this match. It's an 18-minute match.
Yeah. My man Vader's fighting for his life right now.
Remember when Sin Cara dislocated his finger and called it? Remember that?
Jeez.
And here's the thing. I agree. If you... You know, the right to refuse unsafe work. I get that. Vader lost an eye, but found it, put it back, and kept fighting.
Have you ever... You've dislocated a shoulder. I remember that. Do you want to hear the story of how I dislocated my wrist?
Sure.
So I was a sophomore in college.
Okay.
And I was cuddling with my then girlfriend. And she rolled in an awkward position when my arm was underneath her, and it dislocated my wrist.
Ow.
Yeah, I literally was just like, you need to get off and you need to like cover your ears because I'm popping this back in right now.
Oh, right away.
Right away, yeah. I had to do it myself and I did it and it was loud and it hurt like a motherfucker. And she screamed bloody murder for like 5 minutes.
I believe it. I mean, when I got my shoulder dislocated, my coach, because it was rugby, was like, hey, can I put it back in? And I said, sure. Because it hurt, but the main thing that hurt was I also cracked my collarbone. That's the part that hurt.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, okay, well, one, and just launched it back in.
One.
He did the one, the 1-2-3, but he goes on one thing, and I just went, and then I cried immediately. Because I'm like 15. I immediately was like, oh my God, that hurts so much. Oh my God,
I've never experienced this level of pain.
And then I remember because I had to call my parents. It was the beginning of a tournament. I had to call my parents. I was like, hey, this happened. And they were like, the coach talked to them, was like, look, like we have him iced. He's already wrapped up. He's already like in a sling. You can like, if you want to come get him, you can. But if not, like, you know, we've done all the aid that the hospital will do to him right away. Like it's already been done. So I just stayed for the rest of the day. I took some Advil, I had it iced, and I just stayed for the rest of the tournament.
With the fucked up shoulder. Holy
just watching
fuck.
From the sideline, like a hooker on the DL.
Mance was just in pain watching fucking rugby tournament.
For those who don't know, hooker is a rugby position. Now you know. All right. This is an All Japan versus New Japan Super Show, by the way. That's why this is happening. Ooh. So Hansen hadn't gone back to New Japan. He's actually representing All Japan. And he decided he wanted to take a trophy, I guess. And so he took Vader's eyeball.
Vader had to take off his mask too, by the way.
Yeah, so one, Vader comes out in the helmet, which is the greatest.
The awesome.
It's so cool.
It's insane.
Elbows to start by Vader. Chops returned by Hansen. We get a nice short arm lariat by Vader. Hansen stays standing, but he's rocked. This is what happens right early into the match. They're in the corner. Hansen hits some elbows and then gets a right hand. And the right hand actually is a thumb to the eye. That is what the story is, that there was a thumb to the eye. And the thumb to the eye is what pops the eyeball out. Now, the video that we have, you do not see an eye like dangling. All right. Like it's not a haunted house. Okay. But the eye comes out. Vader apparently then takes a little break because they do a rest hold after. Vader, in that time, essentially just puts his eye back in his head. And then after the rest hold where Vader was in control, pops the mask off. And for the rest of the match, Vader is closing his one eye.
It's
gnarly.
First off, he wasn't closing it. That shit was shut.
Yes.
The like the swelling that develops on it so quickly is just insane. It really is.
Quite the adjustment to then have to continue wrestling the rest of the match while trying to make sure your eye stays in your head.
Yeah. Vader tries. Stan is just letting Vader hit him with like shoot jabs right after that injury, and it's just like, fuck me. Can you imagine Vader just jabbing you in the face?
I am surprised that no story has come out about like Vader seeing red and trying to murder him.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was literally just Stan let it happen.
Stan's just like, all right.
Like he told him. He was like, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah. Free shots. So I think there is a lot of like rest holds in the immediate aftermath. I think they're figuring out how bad the hurt Vader is.
Yeah, there was a back suplex spot, and then it was a little bit of a pause. Then they started fighting out in the crowd.
Yeah, Vader clubs Hansen after being Irish whips. Hansen gets put chest first on the guardrail.
Vader was just beating the shit out of him.
And then Vader does the like corner bump, like the corner chest bump over the rail. Like his chest is so massive he could reach over the rail without jumping over it. I like that.
Yes.
Back in the ring, Vader goes up top, diving shoulder block for a two, which doing that with no depth perception is very impressive.
Yeah, honestly. Stan tries to rebound Lariat. Vader hits him with one of his own. And before he could like just do anything, he falls right out of the ring. Vader runs into the ring post. They're fighting ringside again.
Yep.
A lot of this match is spent outside. Stan hits a standing elbow drop for a near fall. Drops the knee straight on Vader's fucking head at one point here. It was just not, it was brutal. Stan back elbow for a near fall. Like, he was basically just doing everything in his, like, arsenal to not only fuck Vader's eye up even more, but also get near falls.
Hansen wants a lariat at one point here. Vader counters with a drop kick. Again, a move that I feel like would be hard to do with no depth perception.
Also, a fucking drop kick that was on point.
On the money. Then these boys are trading lariats, and that kind of goes into the finish, which is another non-finish finish.
Yeah, they brawl to the outside. That's it. They get counted out.
Because they can't stop brawling. Fight forever.
Clap, 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 clap.
We're going to take our break after that weird match. Like, it's a really good match. You should watch it. I wouldn't say it's a great match, but just for the spectacle of these two men are huge.
Yeah, it's two big. It's two meaty men fighting meat meat.
Yeah, Big E would be thrilled. But we are going to take our break. When we get back, we have an All Japan Triple Crown Championship match for Stan Hansen. Back from the break, July 27, 1990, just a couple months after knocking the eye out of Vader's skull. And it is a All Japan Triple Crown Championship match between Stan Hansen and Mitsuharu Misawa. That's right, Misawa versus Hansen. The title was vacated due to the champion being hospitalized just 10 days after winning it. Do you know who the champion was before?
Who were the champion? What year was this?
1990.
Oh, fuck. Is it a Gaijin?
It is.
Hmm. 1990, was it? It wasn't Flair, is it?
No. It's I would consider more of a mid-card guy
in Western wrestling. Fuck, I have no idea that.
Terry Gordy.
Oh, I would never have guessed Terry Gordy.
That's the thing, is I saw the wheels turning in your head. It's like, oh my God, is he going to get this? But no.
No, I would literally have never guessed Terry Gordy.
So we finally have a match against an actual Japanese competitor in Japan, and it's Misawa. I do not know much about Misawa, but I do know, just looking at this dude, he's got the sauce. He is one cool-looking man.
I love Misawa. Misawa's great.
Give me the brief overview of what you know about Misawa. Like, what do the people need to know?
I know that him and Kenta Kobashi are probably fucking Eddie Kingston's two favorite wrestlers ever.
Okay.
He talks about them so often. No, Misawa, I mean, he was really a staple in All Japan Wrestling. He was, honestly,
he became the booker, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He was a staple in All Japan. He was a staple in pretty much all facets of Japanese wrestling. But he's mostly known for his All Japan stint. He's just a guy who's good at the fucking wrestling.
He starts with a clothesline that knocks Hansen to the outside, whips him with his own bull rope.
And then grabs a chair.
This is not an ODQ match, to the best of my knowledge, but there's a lot of no DQ things that happen, so maybe.
Who fucking knows, mate? Who fucking knows? Misawa wraps the arm around the post and it just starts working the fuck out of it. So the strategy for Misawa early on here is very obvious. It's, this guy does a lariat, let me fucking ruin his arm.
Let me take away his arm. Yeah. We get back in the ring, and I need to sidetrack here. The drip on the referee in All Japan is almost too much. It's almost too much.
It's never too much.
It's the right amount, but like, it's like a Met Gala look. This man in the all baby blue with the nice collared shirt and the flared pants.
Oh yeah.
Sir. Like, that's a going, he has plans later. He's going out in that later.
My man's is popping off at the club tonight.
He's dancing to Boogie Nights later.
Oh yeah, Staying Alive, baby.
Oh my God, incredible fit.
And you already know that the music over there is basically just 70s American music.
Man, he's just out there going wild. Anyways, Misawa, like you said, working the arm of Hansen, refuses to let arm bars go in the corners. Hansen decides to try to get free by rearranging his face, just pulling at it and punching
it. Doesn't work, though.
Yeah. No, he just keeps pulling his face.
Yeah, at one point, Misawa wraps the arm around the bottom rope and just starts pulling it like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Stan is just in fucking hell. And I looked at the time, 8 minutes into this match is, and it's just Misawa fucking doing moves on the arm.
Yeah. Like, Hansen would get chopped, but then he would be tossed into the post, and then another arm submission would come. Like, it just was the whole beginning.
Misawa does a leg drop right on the arm. Stan immediately rolls out of the ring because it's the first sign of him having an opening to get the fuck out in like 10 years.
And this is where I realized that for a guy his size, in the matches that we happen to have picked, Stan is working from underneath. And I use that in air quotes. He's underneath a lot.
He's not even really the big guy.
But he's so believable as being a tough guy that you never really think he's underneath. Even if he's getting the shit kicked out of him, you're like, oh, well, you know, he just hits one lariat, he's back in this.
And here's the thing, though. In a couple of these matches, he's the bigger guy.
Yeah.
So it's weird, especially in this match. Like, he's way bigger than Misawa.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So Stan gets outside, but it doesn't matter because Misawa wraps his arm around the barricade.
Yep.
Stan gets run into like the ropes, basically, like his rope. He could just like, honestly, I have a note here that just describes the entirety of the first 2/3 of this match. Stan can do nothing here except get rocked.
The first signs of life he gets, they're back in the ring. Repeated knees to the head by Hansen. And I was like, the mustache man has life.
Forearm shots.
Uses the bad arm for an elbow and sells it like death. Like, you know when you hit the funny bone and you're like, that's not funny. Like, that shit, except worse because he's been had the arm destroyed for 20 minutes.
At one point, Stan's on the outside and Misawa just does 2 yes kicks straight to the arm.
The arm. It's so mean.
It's clean as all fuck. Misawa tries using a chair. Stan grabs it and just breaks the chair on Misawa's head.
Which is where I realized, like, oh, this might be an ODQ match because that was not a DQ.
And the chair is very flimsy. So I'm sure that didn't actually, like, shoot hurt Misawa very much.
Hansen suplexes Misawa back into the ring, who gets his foot on the ropes at 1 during the pin. I was like, dude,
I've never seen that.
You couldn't just wait to 2 to sell it a little
bit? Well, what's he going to get to 2 for? It's a fucking suplex. You know, there hasn't been much damage done to Misawa in this match.
Then we talked about the surprise frog splash last week. Let's talk about another surprise frog splash this week. A Misawa frog splash after a scoop slam?
Yeah.
Rate it out of 10 for me.
It's a solid. I mean, listen, what scale are we using here? Are we using the scale of, you know, this is an individual that shouldn't really be doing a frog splash? Or are we rating it on the Eddie Guerrero?
On the Eddie Guerrero / Montez Ford continuum.
Oh, man. Oh, he's nowhere near Montez. I have to give it like a 5.
Yeah, like for a guy who shouldn't be doing it, it's a 7.5.
Yeah, I'd even push it to 8.
But for the all-time frog splash scale, it's a 4.5.
It's as generous as humanly possible. I'm talking like on some fucking Bill Gates philanthropy type shit. It's a 5.
We have Hansen trying to, Misawa does a Tobe to the outside. Nobody home. There's nobody there because Hansen moves. Hansen tries to take his head off with a chair. Misawa ducks. We get a crossbody off the ropes for a 2. So not off the top rope, but just bouncing off the ropes. Crossbody for a 2 by Misawa. Then Hansen gets a little bit of life. And I didn't know he's got like a little gimmick thing. He pulls the arm sleeve down. I guess that means it's lariat time.
It's lariato time, motherfucker. Stan misses the lariat. Eats a spinning heel kick. And a senton for a near fall. Misawa gets up on the top rope. Stan tosses him off. Hits a running shoulder tackle, follows that up with a massive lariat. 1, 2, 3, the Cowboy's fucking done it.
He's done it. Stan Hansen is the Triple Crown Champion, a title he would hold a couple of different times in All Japan. He would be this is me looking it up while on the fly, a 4-time Triple Crown Champion. 4-time. He would also hold the World Tag Team Championships in All Japan Pro Wrestling 8 times, twice with Terry Gordy.
Shout out to Terry Gordy.
3 times with Tenryu. Once with Dan Spivey. Once with Ted DiBiase. And once with Gary Albright.
What a fucking collection.
What a group of competitors.
Dan Spivey honestly shocks me. My man went from skyscrapers to fucking Stan Hansen's teammate.
It's a weird time. It's a weird time. Let's move to our last match. Our last match is from All Japan Pro Wrestling 1993. And this was a match that when you look up Stan Hansen best matches, this one is consistently listed as like one of his best opponents is Kenta Kobashi.
Hey, man, if you look at anyone's best matches that had a match against Kenta Kobashi, I'm pretty sure it's listed towards the top.
Kobashi, so this is a good parallel, is 26 here. Hansen was 26 in our first match. Kobashi is 26 here, and he looks like $1 million.
Oh, yeah. I mean, compared to I think the only time we've seen him on this podcast was the match against Samoa Joe.
Yes.
Which is when he's in his late 30s by that point. And that is an excellent match.
It's a great match.
Yeah, go back and watch that match and listen to our Samoa Joe episode. But definitely watch that match if you haven't gotten around to it. It's excellent.
But now we've got him as a young man against a giant. Another, like, obviously Samoa Joe's more athletic than Stan Hansen, but a similar, big dude from America. Let's see what Kobashi can do.
I mean, listen, Samoa Joe's a big man, but he didn't have the beer belly drooping down like Stan Hansen does here.
Stan Hansen at this point, 93, full-on cowboy gimmick, like hardcore, the hat, the chewing tobacco in the mouth. He's got the buzz on while he's doing this.
Here's the thing, pal. It's not a gimmick.
It's a lifestyle. What do you think of the match?
I thought this was fun. This was so fun. To me, this was my second favorite of the bunch.
Mine goes Misawa, Andre, this one.
I just really love the Andre match. I think this is the best wrestling match of the bunch.
That's fair.
I just enjoyed the Andre one so much. I couldn't not pick it.
That's fair.
So we start the match off. So at the beginning, Stan is like stomping. I don't know if it's someone or something. I thought it was like a random fan that tried jumping into the ring. It could have been a young boy. I don't know what was happening, but Stan was stomping.
Stan stomping.
Kobashi just immediately jumps him, though.
Yeah. Also, The ring is huge in comparison to the last one. All Japan got like a new ring budget. The ring looks huge now.
It do be big.
It do be big. Kobashi in control for a lot of the early stuff. On the outside, he boots Hansen in the face on the guardrail. We get a back body drop kick out by Hansen. A lot of kicks from Kobashi, big chops. A lot more of like early on, the energy of the other guy puts Hansen on his heels a little bit.
Yeah. Also, so the DDT that happens early on in the match, ringside, the fucking mat that's on the outside, dude. Mm-hmm. That is like a 12-inch Tempur-Pedic mattress. That thing is so thick. It is the thickest mat I've ever seen under any circumstance. Like, gymnastic mats aren't even that thick. Crazy.
It's a cushion.
It is cushioned. I want to sleep on that thing. Kobashi struggles to get Stan in the ring because Stan is big man.
Mm-hmm.
Gets rewarded with some fucking slaps. We had a lot of slap fights in this match.
In this podcast in general. A lot of slaps and just smacks.
Yeah, you guys don't see Evan and I fighting pre and post pod.
We gotta get it out of our system.
Yeah, we gotta psych each other up by slapping.
Be a little slap slap boom.
A little slap 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 clap clap clap, baby. So Kobashi's kicking the shit out of Stan.
Yep.
Now seems to be somewhat targeting the arm. Stan follows that up a little down the line with two headbutts. Kobashi rebounds with a massive lariat and a leg drop. One thing I learned in this match, Kenta Kobashi loves a leg drop.
He spams it.
Yeah, there's a point where he literally does spam it. It's a near fall in that attempt. And then we get a long headlock spot.
Yes, kind of one of the only little like long rest spots of the match.
You gotta let Kobashi catch his breath. The man's doing all the work.
It's true.
Kobashi's kicks are brutal. Fucking brutal.
Every single one of my notes says kick, I think. Like, it's like this kick and then this kick and then a kick and then a move and then a kick and a kick and a kick. And
yeah.
Kobashi kicking.
Yeah, Kobashi, it's a suplex, just a regular suplex for a near fall. Stan tried cashing Kobashi slipping with a lariat, but eats a back body drop instead. Kobashi at one point does like a move that I don't think I've ever seen before. It's a bulldog, but it's kind of like a bulldog set up in the way like the Dolph Ziggler zigzag. But yeah, he went forward with it, yeah, instead of back. I don't think I've seen that.
That was a weird one.
I kind of like it. I'm more just shocked that I've never seen it before, yeah, really.
Is that's the one that's closer to the end, right?
No, this is like midway through.
Okay.
Kobashi charges Stan at one point, throws himself at Stan in the corner, eats a fucking boot. So finally Stan has a sign of life.
Yes.
So Kobashi rolls out to the outside. Stan gets on the apron, does a dive to him ringside. Then he just power bombs Mans right on that fucking 52-inch thick mat on the outside.
What a safe place to be.
It's basically like it's just you're landing on a bunch of pillows. Yeah. Just a meadow of love.
More shots. Big kick to the face by Kobashi. Back in the ring, Kobashi gets up top. Misses the missile dropkick, which looked good. Not great, but good.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those like shotgun type drop kicks,
yeah,
instead of like a regular missile drop kick that you would expect.
He's gonna
to
land
see
on his back instead of on his side.
Yeah, my man, it's like a regular back bump. Yeah. Kobashi. So Stan does a middle rope splash following that for a near fall, and then that basically leads to Kobashi doing chops in the corner, and at one point he just goes the full Lightning McQueen I am speed.
Yes.
And just bams chops as quickly as he possibly fucking can.
Yeah. He had a beautiful three kick series and then just decided to spam the chop button. Hansen decides to counter that by tossing him to the ground.
Yeah.
They trade slaps again. Hansen tosses him down again. Kobashi bounces back up and gets... Does he get lariat? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hansen connects with a big lariat.
Yeah.
And a DDT for a two.
Yeah. For two, baby. And then a little down the line, Kobashi puts on a sleeper hold, and the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
And this is a Japanese crowd, so you don't expect to hear that much noise. They were fucking unglued when that man slapped on the sleeper. That happens for a little bit. And then it looks like Kobashi tried going for... It's like a sliced bread bulldog. What was that? What was that called? The Dudley dog?
Oh, the Dudley dog.
Yeah, he guys going for a Dudley dog, and Stan turns it into a back suplex.
Yes,
and then we get the leg drops, man.
So drop toe hold, leg drops multiple, and yeah. Then he starts doing this little like one leg springboard off the top rope or off the middle rope. He would just put his leg up, his foot up on the middle rope, bounce himself up, leg drop. He's just trying to get a little bit of extra height on his leg drop every time. I like it.
And then he does one off the top rope.
And then he goes to the top rope. Slowly but surely building his way up. Then he goes up to the top rope and decides to forego the moonsault. Or sorry, forego the leg drop for a moonsault.
Yeah, it's a moonsault for a near fall. Hits a flying clothesline for a near fall at one point. Sunset pin for it. He's just basically spamming moves at this point.
A flying clothesline that looks like how the sling blade ends without the spin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
I was like, what does this move remind me of? Because the way he's sitting, I was like, what is that? And I was like, it's like a sling blade if you just didn't do the spin part.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I, for a second there, I thought they were going for a double clothesline spot, but then I was
so
like,
did
no.
I. Yeah.
No, because Kobashi pops up immediately. And then he just spams pins, so he, you know, roll up, cradle, all this jazz. Kobashi hits a lariat for a near fall. Then he goes up to the top rope. Stan pops up, stops him, gets on the apron, hits him with a lariat off the top, like, so Kobashi's in kind of like a tree of wall position, but he's actually just sat on the top rope.
He's not,
like,
just sitting there ready.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. Stan lariats him off. After like 10 seconds, gets a cover on. 1, 2, 3. Stan Hansen wins.
After we're talking about how Kobashi is spamming all of his moves and trying everything that he possibly has to win, Hansen hits one more lariat and just fucking wins.
Crazy.
Crazy world we live in. That's the five
world
matches.
World we live in.
That's the five matches. What do you think going and looking at the career of Stan Hansen?
This is my idea based on like an Instagram video that I saw
of Stan Hansen just lariating people to death.
And honestly, there aren't enough lariats in it, but I accept it because I had so much fun.
It's a very fun time. I think that if we pick some matches, maybe against some spot, like some squash matches. We never put really squash matches in here.
Yeah.
Or like just showcase matches. If we did, it would have been really funny. But we picked five good quality matches.
Yeah, except for the Bruno.
Except for the Bruno match.
No.
Which was hot as hell, but
sure.
had nothing to it. It's like all the contestants on Too Hot to Handle. Hot as hell, not much there.
Fiance's really got you hooked on that show.
It's just on my fucking TV all of the time. Or I hear it in the back. I'll be playing a video game and I'll just hear these people talking about, well, I know that we'll make money if we just don't have sex, but I've never not had sex for more than 12 minutes. So I'm going to do it anyways. We just did some light petting. It's like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Just don't have sex. It's so easy to not have sex and make money.
We need to send Stan Hansen to lariat you.
Please.
That's what you need.
How old is Stan Hansen?
Stan Hansen at this exact moment is 72 years of age.
Oh, that's not bad.
He retired in 2001. He announced his retirement in January 2001 at the Giant Baba Memorial Spectacular event, which was a co-produced show between All Japan and New Japan. I believe did he have a match at that show? Or was he
I hope so.
I think he was just announcing his retirement at the show. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't actually have a match. But you know, some other notable people did. Terry Funk, Steve Williams, Kaiji Muto, Kurt Hennig.
Jesus.
Barry Windham. What a time. Mil Máscaras.
They went all out for Giant Baba.
They did. They really did. So Stan Hansen in retirement has just been kind of chilling. He underwent some surgeries to kind of correct his knees and his back. He was the commissioner of All Japan's Pacific Wrestling Federation for a while, which is cool. He would resign from the position in 07. Like we said, 2016, he would be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Seems to just live a quiet life. He released a book about his life in 2011. Stan Hansen, ooh, just living the dream.
I hope he's just like living on a little farm on the prairie.
Yeah, I hope he's just lariating, you know, things he sees in the wild.
Yeah, like fucking just that. Who needs a big crop thing to collect corn when you're Stan Hansen? Just start lariating.
I really enjoyed watching these matches. I felt like they were different enough. I felt like there was a lot of variety. But
oh, yeah,
at the same time, we got to see Stan Hansen doing different things, fighting from underneath, being an absolute badass. Like, a lot of variety for a guy whose gimmick seemed so simple, but was so effective.
Yeah. So effective.
I'm here to kick ass. I'm from Texas. Here's my cowboy hat. Let me punch people. Like, that was the gimmick, and I love it. You buy kick into ass. It immediately.
I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
That's right. Speaking of kicking ass, next week, let's talk about who we're covering next week. Do you know who it is?
No idea.
Oh, well, then it's going to be a surprise for you. But I don't know who you're expecting, but I've got some bad news for you. Wade Barrett, Barrett Barrage.
Oh my god, the guy who went from quite literally the worst finisher I've ever seen to one of the coolest.
We're gonna have a good time, which means I think we're gonna watch the SummerSlam Nexus match.
Fuck! Do I also get to watch the match against John Cena where he gets the chairs folded onto him?
I think so. I think those will be in there. Honestly, we're gonna have to try to hit a bunch of his different iterations. Wade Barrett, if you couldn't tell from all of those awesome accents, we're going to talk about Wade Barrett next week.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I would love if that came back.
He's around. Make him the commissioner of NXT.
Yes. We need British men in charge of NXT.
Do it. You know why I want it to happen? It's because, like, let's say, I don't know, let's say Bron Breakker is in a pull-apart brawl with fucking, I don't even know who else is on NXT these days.
Carmelo Hayes.
You just got fucking, this dude comes out and goes, oh, you guys want a match tonight? I'm afraid I've got some bad news, because it's at the next takeover.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Or he could start his announcement of War Games, because I think he's one of the only people who could succeed in saying War Games the way that Regal does. But he could start with the bad news thing and then say War Games.
War Games!
Wade Barrett next week. Get excited. Follow us on Twitter at @CrossBodyOfWork. That's the big one. And wherever you're listening, be sure to rate 5 stars. It helps the pod out tremendously. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
Oh my god, I'm at JMello Sports on the Twitter machine. I had a full depression rant over Manchester City today, so I'm not available for comment at this point.
I was watching it unfold live.
It's just the mental deterioration.
Check on Javier by following him on Twitter. Make sure he's okay.
I'm not available for comment, so I will not be reaching back out if you reach out to me.
Next week, like we said, Wade Barrett. Thank you so much for joining us for Stan Hansen. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life is Vice with Javier. Honestly, it's kind of a boring one. Because, you know, I have to get my oil changed, Evan.
Me too.
And I've only ever done it by myself once, and it was a shit show. So this is just a friendly reminder to everyone out there. Go get your oil changed on your cars. It's important. It's really, really important to do. And just try to it's going to suck. You're going to be annoyed. But just kind of just tough it out, because then you don't have to do it for a while.
It's true. If you just get it out of the way, it's done.
Yeah. Oh, actually, here's the life advice thing this week. It's not even the fucking oil change. Yeah, take the oil change advice, but also just do the thing, man. Do the thing. Get it out of the way. It'll just, because then once it's out of the way, it's not in the way anymore. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to stress over it. You don't get, you know, the anxiety over it. You just fucking live life and move on to the next thing you can stress out about.
Here's my good rule. For people who struggle, this is a good one, especially if you struggle with like your house getting messy. It's the might as well rule. If you're leaving from your room to the kitchen, think to yourself, might as well, you know, if there's a bit of garbage, take it out. Or if you have, you know, the water bottles that just add up in the room, ooh, or the water cups, might as well bring them down. The might as well rule. Just bring them down.
Might as well rule. I like
might
that.
Might as well. Yeah. Like so that. You might as well listen to us next week. We're talking about Wade Barrett. Thank you so much for joining us as we talk about Stan Hansen. Thanks for putting us back on the American pod charts. We've been living on some of the other pod charts for a while. Thanks for bringing us back. We'll be back next week. It's a good time. We'll see you then.
Bye.